emotions. And we go into the word illness. It means badness, and it comes from the word melody. And that's not M-E-L-O-D-Y, like a song. It's M-A-L-A-D-Y. And it comes from the Italian word mal, or originally Latin. And mal means evil, M-A-L. It comes from that root. It means evil. To deprive of energy, to make insipid, to become evil. And we know that antonyms of this is health, strength, and vigor. This word, illness and disease, Darren, goes against everything in Jesus' character. Everything, and we're going to study that later on, but it goes against everything in God's character as well.
Well, along with this concept of mal, then there's malfunction.
Yes.
And but this disease can cause distress, cause things to be distorted. I mean, it gets off over into a lot of unusual words. But folks, we want you to enjoy divine health. And you can have that great divine prosperity in your body, divine health that God's provided for you. And he did it in the Old Testament, and then, of course, he really does it in the New Testament through Jesus. But where there was the anointing, there was healing in the Old Testament.
That's right. I realized as I went through some of the major books, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, even into Micah, Hosea, Jonah, God kept his prophets and his prophetesses. He kept them well. He kept them well through persecution, through beatings. I know that Isaiah was finally cut in two. He was sawn in two, and he died, and he went to heaven. But that is not an illness. That's persecution. And we're going to get into the difference between suffering and sickness. There is a true difference
there.
They were afflicted from the outside. That's right.
Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Can I talk about 2 Kings 4?
Yes. We always have to go to 2
yes,
Kings
amen.
4 when we talk about
well,
2
Kings 4. And I love this study of 1 Kings, of course. We're studying about Elisha or Elijah. And 2 Kings 4, or 2 Kings, the whole book is basically dedicated to the understudy, Elisha. And the first prophet, Elijah, did mm-hmm. 8 miracles. And Elisha asked for a double portion of his anointing, and he performed 16 very similar miracles, but double the number.
He did get a double portion.
He did.
Yes.
Now here in 2 Kings 4, we have the story of the Shunammite son, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. It says, "When the child was grown, the day came when he went out to his father to the reapers. He said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until at noon he died."
Mm-hmm.
Now, some would say he had an aneurysm in his brain. You
yes.
know, we could make a lot of assumptions here. But he had a headache, and something went wrong in his head, and he died.
And so this was probably a younger boy. He sat on his mother's lap. So we know that he probably wasn't 20 or 25, but he was maybe like 11, 12, 13 in that area of life. They had enjoyed this boy so much they hadn't been able to have children. So they really loved this boy.
Well, and it was a child of promise, too.
Yes.
I mean, the prophet had stayed in the prophet's chamber in their house. They were very kind to the man.
Yes.
And he had prophesied a child. They'd had the child.
Yes.
And so it was a child of promise.
Yes.
All right. Now, the boy dies, and she called her husband and said, "Send me one of your servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return." And he said, "Why are you going to him? It's not a special day. It's not a new moon or a Sabbath." And she said to him, "It will be well." Now, in her heart, I believe she knew the boy was dead. And later on in the text, it says that he was dead. But then she saddled a donkey, said to her servant, "Drive and go forward, and do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God in Mount Carmel. It came about, when the man of God saw her at a distance, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Now, this is a tremendous thing here. She was staying with the positive promises of God
mm-hmm.
and with God's character of life.
She did go against some rules. Kind of reminds me of the Syrophoenician woman in the New Testament, how she came to Jesus and she was a foreigner. She had no real legal right to do that. And that's like this woman. It wasn't a Sabbath. She really didn't have a right as a woman in the Old Testament to go before the prophet. But boy, she went. She had confidence that he could bring her the answer she needed.
Well, she was a gutsy woman and she had a problem. All right. Verse 27 of 2 Kings 4. "When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near In other words, the prophet's servant, to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.
Mm.
Then she said, did I not ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff in your hand, and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If anyone salutes you, do not answer him, and lay my staff on the lad's face. Now, he was saying there, don't get distracted.
That's right. No distractions.
Don't, you know, get the news of the day and all this kind of stuff. Do what I tell you. Go directly. And the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her.
She wouldn't have just a servant. She wanted the man.
But she was persistent, and she knew where the anointing was. And folks, mm-hmm. this is so important. Mm-hmm. You need to find the anointed leadership and stick with them,
mm-hmm.
because that's where God speaks and God moves. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was neither sound nor response. So he returned to meet him, the prophet, mm-hmm. and told him, the lad is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead, laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord.
Yes, this part where Gehazi went to do what Elisha told him to do reminds me of Mark 9, how Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a huge crowd, and they said, your disciples can't heal this boy. And Jesus said, oh, you unbelieving generation. And this is about the same kind of a thing. There was no response from the boy. I truly believe, Darren, her faith was in the prophet. Her faith wasn't in Gehazi. And boy,
right,
it takes
exactly.
dynamic agreement and faith to get something like a dead person raised again. She believed it was to be Elisha that had the power.
Oh, she knew where the anointing was.
Yes.
Because he'd already proved himself as a prophet, promising her child. And that child was born according to the words of the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
But now the prophet entered and shut the door behind them both, he and the boy, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth to his mouth, his eyes to his mm-hmm. eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm.
Hallelujah.
Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth and went up and stretched himself on him. The lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. Now, I believe the prophet there was praying and interceding.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he was operating in the Spirit as he walked to and fro about that house.
Yes.
He was very single-minded. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. When she came up to him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out.
And some of you are saying, do you really believe this? Do you really believe what you're reading? Yes, most certainly.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. This is not historical. This is not a story written, contrived. This is God's word. This truly happened.
And if you're discouraged because you haven't seen miracles or signs and wonders, I would suggest that you take 2 Kings and start reading it. I mean, there's just miracle after miracle after miracle. And folks, it was a lifestyle.
That's right. It didn't just happen
no,
once
it didn't
in a while.
Just happen.
They kept it in such a prayerful. Remember when Elisha went up into the room, he prayed to the Lord. He kept a prayerful lifestyle all the time. He was always in prayer. And some of you say, I can't always be in prayer. There is a meditative state, subconscious, and this isn't transcendental meditation. This is from God, where you can be in prayer, even at your work, in the busiest of time during your day. You can be in meditation inside in your spirit.
Now, the thing that draws me to these stories, Barbara, is this. In the New Testament, the anointing of Holy Spirit, we have that same anointing on us and in us that was on these prophets.
That's right.
And you can get supernatural direction. And I like the story that goes right after this one about
yeah,
the poisonous stew.
I know. And you like the one in chapter 5, too, about Naaman
Amen.
Being healed.
Now, but here they had a problem. There was death in the pot, and they came to the prophet and said, oh, there's death in the pot. He says, now here, God was speaking through the prophet. He says, well, bring some meal, throw it in the pot. And he said, pour it out for the people that they may eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. He gave them a supernatural bit of instruction there that saved the day.
Mm-hmm. The poison must have gone into the meal in the stew.
Who knows?
Yeah, it worked.
I mean, we're going to get off into nutrition and chemistry and all this stuff. But I'll tell you, if you walk with Holy Spirit, which you can, that same anointing that was on this prophet can be on you, and he can supernaturally direct you in the affairs of life.
Mm-hmm.
It may be something to do with your car, something to do with your house, something to do with your kids. God can give you supernatural revelation instruction and it will save the day for you.
That's right.